Let us pray. Merciful Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be your people in your house. We thank you, Lord, that despite the sin that we tangle with day in and day out, you continue to pursue us, you continue to provide for us, and you continue to forgive our sins in your Son, Jesus. Lord, may our hearts and minds be open to your word this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It could be worse. It's a common phrase that's often used when we're trying to divert our attention to something good, when we're in the moment of something not so good. It helps us see that perhaps the given moment we are in is not quite as bad as we think. There's a Christian artist named Andy Mineo, and he has a song that talks about this. And in that song, he says, "It could be worse. Life is hard. I thank God it could be worse. Way, 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 way worse." So 2 weeks ago, I was sitting inside a small townhouse in St. Louis when this song came to mind. It was a few minutes before midnight. I had just finished a brutal 13-hour drive through a horrible winter storm. It was absolutely awful. It was one of those white-knuckler trips. And I finally got, and I'm sitting inside that townhome, and I'm like, I made it. All's well. It's warm. I'm good. And while I hated that drive, and I remember texting my wife, "I don't ever want to do this ever again!" exclamation point. I still remembered thinking in that moment, it could have been worse. And so a few days later, it was worse. On the way home, the trip was way worse. A return trip of 14 hours this time. Mind you, it should have only taken 9 in good conditions. 14 hours in a much worse winter storm. I would describe the conditions as, you gotta be kidding me. Especially as I got into Oklahoma, I'm by myself in the middle of the night in the dark of my truck, and I'm going, you gotta be kidding me. Because the conditions kept getting worse. But thanks be to God, I made it home unharmed. And truth is, things could have been way worse. Because over 27 hours of winter storm travel, I didn't run off the road. I didn't get a flat tire. Didn't run out of gas. I was never hungry or thirsty. I had no kind of mechanical failure. I was never sick. I was never injured. I didn't have to sleep on the side of the road inside my truck. And not one of my 18-wheeler buddies around me collided with my vehicle. Things could have been way, way worse. That is no small thing to me, and I am deeply thankful for the Lord's care during that time. But something much more significant occurred to me, and it wasn't until I was back home, sitting at the dining room table within my home, and I'm thumbing through the pages of my Bible, and I'm looking at the text, specifically the Isaiah text for this morning, and something much more profound occurred to me in that moment. What if, in all of the difficult moments of trouble in my life, what if I didn't have these gospel words of promise? Think about that for a moment. The Isaiah text this morning is filled with gospel love from God about the eternal life to come. What if during all the trials and the troubles and the pains and the sufferings of this life, what if you and I didn't have the love of God in Christ Jesus? How much worse would things be? Way worse. Way, way, way worse. When the hard times of this life hit, we can get this feeling that all is lost, that there's nothing good that remains, that there's no reason to smile or no reason to continue forward. But here's the truth. No matter how bad things get in this life, no matter how deep that daily suffering gets, the love of God in Christ Jesus is still there. Come war, division, illness, poverty, unemployment, isolation, loneliness, fatigue, doubt, grief, heartache, whatever. the love of God for you still remains. I wonder about those Israelites from this story. I think about their time, what was going on during their lives when these words were spoken to them, about all the incredible, difficult stuff they were facing. Foreign exile, superpowers invading their land, wicked kings and tyrants, terrible bad leaders within their own group, illness, hunger. If it was bad, they were facing it. So I wonder how many people during that time felt hopeless. How many people during that time wondered if things would ever get better? How many people looked up to the heavens and thought, God's never going to bring relief? It'd be so easy to get hopeless in moments like that. It'd be so easy to look at all the chaos and the suffering that was surrounding the Israelites that time and think, God has checked out. He's abandoned us. He's gone back on this promise that he had held for so long. But the words from God to the Israelites in that moment, in the text we read this morning, those words are richly filled with God's love, God's promise about things to come. These words are words that calm the soul. These are words that were spoken to the Israelites that calmed their hearts, settled their minds. Because God said to them, he said, look, shall no more your name be termed forsaken? God said to them, no more will your land be termed desolate. God said they would be a crown of beauty in his hand, a royal diadem. And God said that a day was coming where he, as their creator God, was going to rejoice over them. Those are beautiful words of promise of this eternal life to come in Christ Jesus. Because see, God, he hadn't moved away from his people. He was with them. Even in their suffering, he was there with them. He had never abandoned them. So in that reality for the Israelites, in that moment, things could have been way, way worse. God chose to remain with his people. He chose to still give them a prophet like Isaiah that was speaking words of truth to his people, saying, turn back, leave these destructive and damaging ways that you're living that are harming you and the people around you. And here's the thing, God didn't have to remain with them. God didn't have to keep speaking to them. God didn't have to keep referring to them as his people. So in that truth, things could have been way, way worse. God could have said enough. I wash my hands of you. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm going to find some other people. And the truth for us today is things aren't much different. For us today, things could be way, way worse because apart from Christ, your sin and my sin justly earns us pain and suffering. Apart from Christ, your sin and my sin rightly condemns us eternally. And it is what it is. We know that's what it is. And we know there's nothing that you and I can do to kind of fix that problem. Thanks be to God that our Lord has fixed that problem for us. Thanks be to God that our Lord has chosen to take us up out of that worst case scenario. Thanks be to God that he has chosen you and me through the perfect righteous sacrifice of his son to cover all of our sin. Thanks be to God that he covers all of my darkness and your darkness. Thanks be to God that he covers all of our corruption and ill will and deceitfulness and idolatry and filthiness and all these sins one after another. Thanks be to God that he makes us perfectly righteous in Christ. In Jesus, we are free. We are free from the eternal punishment that our sin deserves. Today, on account of your faith in Christ, because you look at Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today, right now, God truly delights in you. Your Creator God sees you as a royal diadem, a crown of beauty. your God rejoices over you as a bridegroom rejoices over a bride. That's good news. These words of promise, these words of truth from our God are words that we need to keep going back to over and over and over, because we need to be reminded that even in the middle, right smack dab in the middle of some of the most suffering moments of this life, God's love still remains. You are still loved. You are still forgiven. And you are still promised eternal life with your Savior. Today, you might be going through some really difficult stuff. You might be right in the middle of true, real, stinging suffering. And if you are, I am truly sorry. And I earnestly pray that God's mercy would come swift and that He would relieve that burden. But even when you're right in the middle of suffering, you still have the gospel. You still have God's forgiveness. You still have the very creator God Almighty of all things that looks at you individually and personally and says, "You are mine. I love you." Don't let that truth grow dull in your life. Keep that reality front and center in your life, in all things, that even in great suffering, God still loves you. That's what gives us peace every day. The reminder that what I feel now that is miserable and awful, it has an end date, and it's not going to go on forever. And that there is a life to come where you and I, we won't have to deal with any of the problems we deal with in this life right now. We don't welcome the hardship of this life, but things could be way, way worse. Because we still have the love of God in Christ Jesus to carry us through these difficult moments. Thanks be to God that He has chosen us, that He carries us, that He has redeemed us, and that He has promised us that there's an eternal life to come with Him. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we lift voices of thanks and praise to You that You have blessed us with this faith in Your Son. Lord, we thank You for the gift of Your love, Your forgiveness here and now that we know to be true and real. And Lord, we thank You that there is an eternal life to come where we will no longer struggle, we will no longer fear, no more worrying, no more doubting, no more anxiety, no more pain. Lord, we thank You for this incredible gift. May it stay right in front of us each day. And may we rest in that truth. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.